Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We are in for a great time. Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. He's so real. He's so beautiful. He's so caring. Whether you've been so many decades in the Lord, or whether you have just come to God, whether you may even be here and haven't yet come to God, you're making up your mind about this whole God thing. The Lord loves you so much. And the Lord is going to take us from exactly where we're at to where He intends. I believe especially people that have had barriers in their faith, people that have had blockages, people that have had bad experiences in their Christian journey, people who have tried to walk with the Lord but have found religion instead of the Lord and have been so disappointed at that, I believe all of that is going to be subdued by the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit, and there's going to be a fresh touch from heaven that will make us live before God, that make us live with God in such a beautiful and fresh way. I'm really, really excited about the next few weeks. We had planned, now, we didn't plan it corresponding to coming into this space. It just so happened. But the divine orchestration from heaven supersedes our human intelligence, that we would enter this place, and the first 5 weeks was going to be about the glorious Holy Spirit. And honestly, just this week I was praying about it, and I feel like it's a piece of God's heart what is going to happen over the next little bit dispatched to us. I feel the Holy Spirit said to me, who said it's going to be 5 weeks? And I thought, well, your Lord, your leader of the church, you tell us when to stop. So the one thing I know, it's going to be at least 5 weeks. And I'm genuinely just so excited about the ministers that are coming to minister, not because they're celebrities, they're far from it, because they're actually some of the most humble people I know on this planet. We've got Pastor Ali Cawthorn, who's our Australia hub leader for Pneuma. As a matter of fact, this is going to be the very first time she preaches at any Pneuma location. She's a woman of the Holy Spirit, woman of the Word. We've got straight after that, Prophet Roma. Who knows the stuff's going to happen around that space? We've got Prophet Steve McCracken coming after that. But honestly, I want to tell us, it's not about persons at all. You know what it's about? I know that they have a history and a walk and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the impartation is going to be profound. I want to encourage us. Don't miss a week of the weeks to come. Whatever you do, don't miss a week, because I feel like the Holy Spirit, I'm not asking those guys to preach into anything. Like, I'm not telling them preach into this or that. Whatever the Holy Spirit gives them. But I believe the Holy Spirit in His wisdom is going to be layer upon layer. He's going to do what only He can do. I'd love to pray, and then we're going to dive straight in to the first installment of the glorious Holy Spirit. So, Father, we honor You so much. We love You so much. Thank You that there's an end to religion. And now there's rivers of living water upon Your people. Thank You for the authenticity of God life in the church. Thank You for the outpouring that heaven and earth can meet together in the person of the Holy Spirit inside a believer. So Holy Spirit, Lord of all, we ask You to have Your way. Show Your supremacy over all the works of darkness. Show that You are God. Manifest the beauty of Your power. Release it upon Your people. We prophesy in the name of Jesus that in the coming weeks, chains shall fall. That in the name of Jesus, dead bones shall awaken and resurrect in the name of Christ the Messiah. We prophesy that even though we're not going after healing, healings will be had, Lord God. Just because where you are, there are healings. The lame shall walk, the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear. Not because we're after signs and wonders, but because we're after you. Thank you that wherever you are, the kingdom is manifest. So Holy Spirit, fill this container. Fill your people's lives. Revive us again in the name of Messiah Jesus. We love you and we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Tim. Awesome. I want us to dive straight into the book of John chapter 7. If you'd open up with me to the book of John chapter 7, we're going to read an excerpt of what Jesus taught, a very important one, and platform our conversation of that. I do want to just position us. So what you're going to find over the next few minutes as I share the Word of God with us, it's not going to be a refined sermon pointing to a one thing or anything like that. I really just want to begin to set a platform for the weeks to come so that as we begin to engage with what the Holy Spirit will speak through the other speakers, we've got a bit of a platform of biblical understanding as to the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin our conversation from the book of John chapter 7 and starting at verse 37. Jesus said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I already want to highlight something before we dive into this. The first thing that Jesus said is there is one condition only. The condition isn't that you are perfect. The condition isn't that you've got it all together and you're all nice and clean and you're all prim and proper. The condition isn't that. The condition is not that you've adhered to all the ethical, moral codes or perfectly obey the Ten Commandments. Come on. Hello. That's not the condition. The condition is if anyone is thirsty, it's a longing for, it is a desire, it's a wanting, exactly like the Samaritan woman married to Five, the one she's now living with, is not her husband, but there is a longing, there is a thirst, there is a want, there is a desire, there is a drive. He said, if anyone has that, let him come to church. Oh, come on. This is really close now. I'm going to call you out. You're not going to have me working up here and you're just sitting being entertained. That ain't going to happen. I don't care how far you are or how close you are. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to church. Yes. Who said yes? If anyone is thirsty, let him come and do a program. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to a person. Let him come to me. Let him come to me and drink. Now you notice the first thing before he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Before there is any kind of manifestation, there is first a drinking. There has to be some kind of inhaling before there could be exhaling. If the life of the Holy Spirit is going to be manifest through my mortal flesh, you know, where the divine life and its expression happening in my life, there has to be an inhaling of that. There has to be a receiving of that. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. We have to receive the kingdom before we release the kingdom. Why is it that there is not so much manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Christian church? It's because the Christian church is working really, really hard to do stuff. It's working toward the outflow. We want signs and wonders and we want, and the Christian church is like a decapitated chicken. Running around, we're doing lots of things. We're doing lots of things, but that's all outflow. Outflow cannot come before intake. Jesus said, drink then. That will happen. The outflow will come in a variety of manifestations and a multiplicity of ways, but there has to be a drinking. there has to be an inhaling. There has to be a receiving. There has to be a baptism. There has to be a continuous infilling. There has to be a glory presence upon the believer's life. Inside the believer, there needs to be divine life in order to outflow. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. And now let's begin our conversation.
We need to know a few things that set us up for the coming weeks of continued conversation. The first thing that I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not like a strength from God. He's not like electricity or gravity that is a force, but is impersonal. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. We find that in the book of Acts chapter 5, for example, with Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the apostle Peter, through a word of knowledge by the Holy Spirit, says to them, you have not lied to just normal humans. You have not lied to men. You have lied to God. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Meaning the Holy Spirit is God. He is the full. He's no less God than God the Father, God the Son. He is God. When we talk about the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in me, we are talking about divinity, divine God in his fullness, a person. You know, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That's emotions. If he can be lied to, then he can't be electricity. The Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. That's why Jesus says that he will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. As a matter of fact, three chapters, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus time and again refers to the Holy Spirit as he. He, when he comes, he will glorify me. He's a person. What you're going to be dealing with is a person. Now, why is that important to know? I'll tell you why. Because we have become so indifferent to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have become so indifferent to the emotions of the Holy Spirit. We have neglected completely that I'm actually dealing with a person here. He is a person. You and I deal with a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether all the way back when he was hovering over the face of the waters or all the way forward to Revelation 22:17, where the Spirit and the bride say, come, you are talking about a person, God. This relationship we're talking about is you and God. That's actually where it's at. I want to tell you one of the most, it's not scary, but it's one of the most defining pieces of scripture spoken by Jesus. Jesus, when he was on earth, he allowed us to see all kinds of boundaries. But he set an ultimate boundary. The ultimate boundary is found in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 32. He says this, every blasphemy and every sin against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Do you know what he was talking about? He's talking about a boundary that can't be crossed. The ultimate boundary as to whether I will be with God or without God, whether I will experience the fullness of God, the life of God or not, has to do with my relationship to the Holy Spirit. If I reject the Holy Spirit, I am altogether rejecting all knowledge of God. If I reject the Holy Spirit or I neglect him or I am indifferent to him, I am altogether neglecting, rejecting all truth about God and who God is. So Jesus said it as the absolute ultimate boundary. I need us also to know the second thing, that the Holy Spirit indwells every born-again Christian. Every single one of us. Every single person who has said yes to Jesus, who has received reconciliation, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, dwells? The Spirit of God does what? Dwells. Dwells. If you look up that word in the Greek, that means actively occupies. He's not dormant. The Spirit of God, once you receive reconciliation and the Spirit indwells you, the Spirit goes to work. Just like He went to work in creation where the earth was chaotic, without form and void, and the Spirit of the Lord brought beauty into creation, He brings beauty into recreation. He begins to do divine work. He begins to actively occupy. Do you know, without the Holy Spirit, you and I would be completely deceived. You know why? Because He's the Spirit of truth. Without the Spirit of truth living on the inside of you, you would be delusional. You would believe every false thing. Why do people believe crazy stuff? No Holy Spirit. But he is true north. He will guide you into all truth. He is true north. See, the Holy Spirit, when He indwells us, thank God that He convicts us. Who's okay with the Holy Spirit? Convicting, by the way, doesn't mean that He condemns you. That's the devil. I'm talking about He convinces you. He convinces you of right living. He convinces you of error. That's why we will go astray without the person of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit begins to actively occupy a person, straight away, I was sharing with the first service, I'll never forget it, never forget it. As a teenager in my bedroom in the year of 1990, so over 30 years ago now, here I am in my bedroom, but I was not walking with the Lord. I was living every sinful, I don't want you to imagine, but imagination you can think of. I was totally wayward, had nothing to do with God, but I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit in my bedroom. See, the Holy Spirit is not limited to church, because He is with you wherever you go, influencing you wherever you may be. You open up a door and He will flood it. But in my bedroom, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and from that moment, I'm telling you, to this day, it's not because I went on a discipline program or whatever it is, but from that moment to this day, my appetite on the inside has completely changed. Nobody told me, you got to stop sinning. I wanted to stop sinning when the Holy Spirit came upon me. I no longer had an appetite. I was still weak and still falling and still am, but my heart had been totally regenerated, had been totally recalibrated. I no longer wanted to do the stuff that I was doing. Nobody taught me. As a matter of fact, that very same evening, my friends came to my door. We were going to a nightclub, and they were like, let's go. And I said, no, I won't. And they said, why? I said, because it's sin. And they're like, who the heck's that? Is Raff in the house? And they're right. It wasn't me anymore, because the Holy Spirit knows how to put the old man to death and raise a new man. At that very moment, there was a whole new appetite for the Word of God. I became so hungry for the Word of God. I didn't know anything. I never even used to read my Bible. I didn't know a thing. But I developed an appetite for the Word of God. I became so hungry. I want God's Word. I want God's presence. It's not that I had to go to church to tick a box. Now I wanted, with everything within me, God's presence. Love the habitation of your house. How did that happen? All I'm saying is what the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. I will give you a new heart and take the heart of stone out of your flesh. I will pour my Spirit upon you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You know what that means? Cause you to walk in my statutes? It means that God puts a V8 desire inside every single one of us so that we can live a Godward life. How does that happen? That doesn't happen because I'm disciplined. It doesn't happen because of my resolve. I grit my teeth and I do. It's because we receive the divine life of the Holy Spirit who changes us. Christian living is not about some kind of character improvement program. Christian living is the life of God inside the Christian.
That's why the Bible says, "You who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Oh, do you know how husband and wife become one flesh? Don't think about that too much, but you know what I'm talking about? Oh, we got kids. Sorry. Spirit to spirit, the Lord joins himself to your spirit. You become joined to the Lord. Who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I want your sanctified imagination to dwell on that just for a moment. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit get fused. It's no longer milk and no longer tea, but you put them together and you get this fused God person in whom the fullness of God dwells. Can you see what I'm talking about? Can you see how that deals away with religion? Can you see that Christianity is innocent of that stuff, but Christianity is about you and I being filled with divine life. Divine life. Divine life puts a mandate on the enemy. You cannot be somewhere and the enemy runs rife. The enemy will get arrested because the king is indwelling your kingdom and the kingdom will manifest. You see, it is the presence of God in people. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about God present in you. We're not talking about a doctrine. We are talking about the reality of God living in you. That's why, can we cut off some lies from the enemy? We look at ourselves sometimes and we talk nonsense. We say things like, "I can't. I'm not good enough. Who am I to pray for the sick and see them healed? Who am I to command in the name of Jesus deliverance and cast out demons out of people? Who am I?" When we're not talking about you, we're talking about greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's what we're talking about. We are talking about leading a God life because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you strength. He is the strength of the Christian life. That's why it says in Ephesians 3:16 that you will be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Why do we feel so weak before temptation? And is it because we're bad people? Not at all. We're actually trying really hard, but it's not about trying hard. Victory in the Christian walk is you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, it's the spirit of liberty that Paul talks about that we receive that frees us from addictions and cycles and repetition and religion. All of it gets subdued underfoot and you walk a divine life. Does that mean that you become weird? No, it doesn't mean you become weird, but you do become supernatural. And not everything natural is in the order of what we think. Some people are so religious, they go, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Okay, well, I believe that too. You know, they say, "Oh, we come to you Pentecostals and your Holy Spirit kind of like meetings, they're out of control. They're out of control." And we're like, "Okay, they are out of control because we give the control to the Holy Spirit. What's your point?" And they're like, well, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I had somebody tell me that not long ago, and I said, "I absolutely agree with you. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let's go back to the first service of the church when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they were like drunken men at 9 a.m. Now, I'm not promoting a show or a circus. But I am saying this, I am not going to put the Holy Spirit in a box. Who am I to put the Holy Spirit in a box? An order is order according to the Holy Spirit, not a quarter of churchianity. We need the order of the Holy Spirit to come back into our life. You know why there's so much disease, dis-ease? Because there's so much disorder. There is no order of the Holy Spirit. What we're coming back to during this season is the lordship of the Holy Spirit over us personally and corporately. We're saying, let's stop leading our lives. How about we let the Spirit of God lead it? Let's stop leading our churches. How about we let the Holy Spirit lead the church? How about it? How about it?
Last time I read scripture in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit led the church, it's not just the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Last time I read that, I saw multitudes come into the kingdom of God. Because he is the Holy Spirit of conviction. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Why? Because it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Last time I read it, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, therefore the kingdom of God has come upon you. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there's a plethora of spiritual activity. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is kingdom authenticity. You know what happens in worship? I'll tell you what happens. This happens with religion. Religion, this is what worship looks like. Golf clap to the Lord. That's what happens. Do you know what happens with worship? When the Spirit of God invades a person, you shall worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know what happens? You lose the fear of man. Yeah. And you begin to be completely Godward. You lose the fear of man. Intimidation will have no opportunity if you are filled with the Spirit of God. People look at you funny and people look at you that way and they mock. Of course they will mock. They don't understand because the Holy Spirit is supernatural. But we lose the fear of man. When the disciples were threatened not to worship God according to New Testament patterns. Book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. They prayed. Now listen to the prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Listen. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word with boldness. No fear of man. Not because they kind of like teamed up and decided, okay, let's be gutsy. No. The righteous are as bold as a lion. How does that happen? Not because we grit our teeth, but because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit tramples every other spirit underfoot. We need to go back to being the church of the Holy Spirit. We need to go back to being people of the Holy Spirit. People that are led, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are sons of God. The one marker of sons and daughters is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of this age, not even our own spirit, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God subdues demons. The Spirit of God brings the kingdom. The Spirit of God pulls an end to false religion. The Spirit of God gives glory to Jesus. Do you know what will happen as we get filled, soaked in the Spirit of God? You know what's going to begin to happen? The devil's not going to know which way to look. Seriously, you know why? If there's one thing I know in my Noah, that's right about here, the Noah, is that everything God is doing is so that he can stop the platform and start here. So that literally all of us, every single one of us, ministers flames of fire. That's why he's not going to know which way to look, because he's going to go to you. And then it's like, hang on a minute, you're in your workplace and you're salt of the earth and light of the world. Then he's going to come to you, and then oh my gosh, she's healing the sick. And then he's going to go to you, and then all of a sudden you're going to have a testimony on your lips that's going to change people's life, and it's going to be everywhere. He's not going to know which way to look. Why? Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not for leaders. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If anyone thirsts, anyone. I'm telling you, some of you in this service are sitting and you're feeling a little bit ashamed because you're saying, I want to be part of this, but I've got a history. Hello, my friend, so have I.
But here's one thing I know about my history. It is washed by the eternal blood of the new covenant. They may call you a name and say shame on you. Jesus, over you this very day, says shame off you. It's off. Off. And now you're ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God is not going to trickle the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to trickle it. That's why when we read in John chapter 7, he says, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour. Pouring is not a trickle. I've still got time. I'm going to take you there. But Isaiah chapter 44, have a look at this. I need us to see this. Isaiah 44. Why do I even have notes? Listen to this. Listen to this. This is music from heaven, if you believe. I will pour water. Now, the first thing that I want to pour, I will pour. I will pour water on him who was thirsty. See again, the qualifier? Exactly like in Isaiah 55:1. Ho to him who thirsts and all who desire, come drink of the water of life freely. So he says, I will pour. Notice the pour, pour, pour. Let's stop there for a tick. Let's stop there. I was telling the morning service this. If you've got a 1 liter container and you begin to pour, how much are you going to pour out? 1 liter. It's not a trick question. If I've got 5 liters in my bucket, I'm going to pour out. What about if I'm infinite God? What about if I'm infinite God? What about if I promised in John 3:34, I do not give the Spirit by measure? I don't measure it. I don't measure it. Do you know the entire immersion in the Holy Spirit is a grace act? It's a transaction of grace. Book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul says, he says, When you received the Holy Spirit, did you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, he who works miracles among you and supplies the Spirit to you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's a rhetorical question, meaning that the answer is inherent in the question. It's got nothing to do with your performance and my performance, your deserve and my deserve. The pouring of the Holy Spirit is the gift of Jesus Christ to the church. Book of Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Jesus said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That means anyone who asks will receive, anyone who seeks will find, anyone who knocks, it will be opened. If you ask, no matter what your history is, no matter what you've done, but you come exactly like the Samaritan woman, Lord, I've got a longing. Lord, I'm thirsty. The Lord is not going to put you on probationary. The Lord is not going to say, let's see how you go over the next 3 months and then I'll pour out my spirit. The Lord will pour, 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 pour his spirit out. And he's not going to do it by measure. Because, where's my verse? I was only doing the introduction for the verse. I want the rest of my... There. I will pour water on him who's thirsty. And listen, just in case we didn't get it. Floods. You go, I'm dry. Good. Floods on dry ground. You go, but I haven't really experienced this life of God. Floods on dry ground. God has a way, if you read in the book of Isaiah especially, of turning deserts into gardens. And that's not just in the natural, that's what he does inside of us. You know, you could be insensible to God right now. Like, I don't feel any of this really. But God has such a way of not only making you so sensible to him, so alive in him, but has a way that there is such anointing and unction by the power of heaven that you begin to bud and blossom in a very short period of time.
that the life of God just flows out of you because you said, yes, I want more. I want more. Oh, God, I don't want to lead an ordinary life. I want the life of God imparted. Enough of religion. It is time for the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit must go from being resident to being president in the church once again. Once again. And you know what? I speak this word over us corporately, but I also speak it over to us individually. I feel such a yearning in God's heart. What the Lord says in the book of Hosea chapter 4, my heart turns toward my people. I feel such a yearning of God's heart. It's a season with a passionate love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not about a show. It's not about kind of like meeting together. We've got a world to win. We've got a devil to destroy. We've got people to heal. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy over every single person who is here. A new awakening of the Holy Spirit come upon every single one of us, me included, Lord. That no one would miss out. Holy Spirit isn't religious. Holy Spirit wants to give you divine life. He loves you. He loves you. I don't know why, but I'm seeing it over and over. Mental health shall be restored. It shall be restored. Shall be restored. It's going to be one of those signs of His kingdom. Mental health is going to be restored. I feel the Lord. I actually see a beautiful picture. I see like a flower in a field, and the breath of God just comes on it so sweetly, so gently. But the flower was a bit closed, and as the breath of God comes, the flower blossoms to it. And it's so beautiful on the inside. And I feel like many of you, even here, are like that right now. You're kind of closed up. But the breath of the living God is coming on you, and what is in you, which is so beautiful in the eyes of God, is going to come out of you. The life that God actually has ordained in you is going to come out of you. As a matter of fact, I see that flower not only becoming so beautiful, but I see it spreading seed. That it's not just going to be for the beauty of itself or even the beauty for others to look at it, but it's going to multiply seed in the field. And the field literally will be populated. Populated. And all that happened was that the breath of God came on a closed up flower. Some of you are that closed up flower even right now. But Spirit of a living God, we invite you to do what only you can do even right now. Beautiful wind of heaven, would you just come upon those who are exactly like that right now and open them up to the pneuma of heaven, to the wind of heaven, to the breath of heaven, to the God of glory. That the beauty that lives within them, that they don't even recognize in themselves, would be released to the world. And the seeds that are in them, seeds of eternal life and seeds of kingdom power and seeds of kingdom sonship, would be spread in the field that you have given them. Thank you for that, Holy Spirit. We're just going to do a couple of things right now. Holy Spirit's not done. If you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to be courageous, and even right now, just come forward. I'm just going to ask the prayer team to hold it for a sec. If you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, just come forward up here. I'm just going to wait for you. I don't care if that's one or 100. I'm just going to wait for you. if you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to wait. Keep on waiting. I know that there's people that are negotiating this in their hearts right now. I'm just going to keep on waiting. Waiting because I feel the Lord say there's two more. I don't know who you are, but God's after you so much that He's actually stopping this service until you're here because He wants to touch you. He wants to touch you. So I'm just going to wait for you. Perfect. Thank you to. Thank you, because the Lord was waiting on you. Because the Lord loves you so much. So right now, everybody who's just up the front, I'll just ask you in a posture of prayer, just ask the Lord, ask the Lord directly. There's no mediator except Jesus Christ. Ask Him to touch you afresh. If you're in your seats, could you pray for our brothers and sisters here? Could you intercede even right now? Sweet Holy Spirit, we love you so much and we are so grateful that the flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit gives life. You're the giver of life. So right now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to impart fresh oil, fresh life on every hungry heart. You promised him who is thirsty, I will pour on him who is thirsty. You promised and you never failed. You never overspeak or exaggerate, but you promised that it's going to be floods on the dry ground. So in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who has opened up the heavens, Spirit of a living God, we ask you to flood upon the souls of my brothers and sisters, even right now. We ask you, fresh wind, come and blow, come and blow, come and blow, come and fill, come and fill, come and infuse, come and impart, come and impart, come and strengthen, come and bring freedom, come and bring strength, come and bring new intimacy in the name of Jesus. Come and stoke the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come, breathe on the life of God that already exists in my brothers and sisters. Cause the coal to become a fire once again. Cause the coal to become a fire once again. Father, I thank you because I can even see it in the Spirit that the weak will say, I am strong. That those who are getting up from their knees will get up and there shall be a song and a dance. Thank you that there's new life in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, there was once aridness. There shall be no more, but there shall be a fruitful garden, a fruitful garden, a fruitful garden, a garden of intimacy, a garden of flourishing, a garden of beauty. Thank you, Lord, that the domain that Satan has interrupted. Thank you that even the small kind of constrictions that some of my brothers and sisters have been in, the word of the Lord over you is that He is taking you out of constrictions into wide open spaces. You will feel a new freedom in your relationship to God. You will feel a new freedom even in natural situations. You will feel even in your emotions such a release of new freedom. In the spirit, there's going to be such a release even in your relationship to God. You will talk to God and it's going to be so fluent. You're coming alive. That's because the Spirit of the living God is breathing upon you. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that it's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. Thank you that even right now there's major ever-changing transformation. Lord God, thank you. The constriction shall turn into victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, you who were once kind of distant and kind of absent shall become the nearest and closest friend. Thank you that as my brothers and sisters even open up the Bible, that the spirit of revelation is going to be open over them. Baptize your sons and daughters, I pray in the name of Jesus. Immerse in anointing oil, in the wonderful name of the Messiah, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.